Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kim Inlings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on two specific areas of discussion. The first is an update on US inflation, particularly PCE inflation, which was released last week and certainly continued to improve with the overall PC inflation rate moving down to 3%. The second area of discussion is what's happening to South Africa's demand for credit. Obviously, there's a focus on the household sector, and the fact that interest rates are elevated, are consumers still taking a significant amount of debt? So I think let's unpack those two areas in a little bit of detail. So as mentioned earlier, the United States released their PC inflation data for October during the course of the week. And I would say overall, the numbers are very encouraging. PC inflation is now down at 3% and core PCE has moderated to 3.5%. So yes, they're not down at the 2% target level, but they've made meaningful progress. The other aspect to it is that when you look at a breakdown of the inflation components, there are many areas where inflation is significantly lower. So if you're focusing on the goods element, which would be durable goods and non-durable goods, that inflation rate is sitting at only 0.2% year on year. And in fact, there are many areas that are in outright deflation. So certainly no price pressure within the goods component of the US economy. If I look at a specific item like food inflation, that has moderated to 2.4%. And if you think not long ago, food inflation was sitting in the US at, I think it was over 11%. So that's a huge slowdown in the food area. And then the third aspect just to highlight is that energy inflation has also moderated. And that's got a lot to do with the fact that the oil price has moved down despite Saudi Arabia's best efforts to keep the oil price elevated. So there are many components of US inflation that are a lot more encouraging and in line with the US's overall inflation target of 2%. So which area of inflation remains problematic? It's very much in the services side. Service inflation is sitting at 4.4%, but within that, it has got a lot to do with the shelter component. And so we get back to the kind of perpetual story that has been around for some time now, and that is that you need shelter inflation to move considerably lower in order for the US to get back to their inflation target. We think that happens during the course of next year. There's evidence from the private sector data that shelter inflation is moderating, but due to a couple of technical factors, it takes time for that to reflect in the overall inflation calculation. So from my perspective, this was a good set of numbers. Obviously, the markets liked it. It encouraged markets to price in an early interest rate cut. We'll discuss that in a later podcast, but it's clear that the US inflation data is a lot more behaved, and that would please the Federal Reserve, and so they can at least be comfortable that they're at the top of the current interest rate cycle. And so the question is going to be increasingly, when do they consider their first interest rate cut? At this stage, I would say that's probably around the middle of next year. But as I said previously, the market is starting to price in an early rate cut around March, and we'll have to monitor the data carefully to see how this all unfolds in the early part of next year. The second aspect that I think is worthwhile to discuss is the growth in private sector credit. The data was released for October last week, and you would say that overall there has been a further moderation in the rate of growth. Credit is now growing at 3.9%, which is relatively low by historical standards. And if you consider that inflation sits at 5.9%, then in real terms, there's really not much happening in the credit markets. If we break that down into its different components, there's been a clear slowdown in the granting of household credit, and in particular, the granting of mortgage credit. Mortgage credit is now only growing at 4.9%, and at the beginning of the year it was up at 8%. And clearly banks are less enthused about the residential property market, and you can understand why. The economy is in a difficult position, the labor market is also challenging, and so we're not seeing much vibrancy within the residential space, and so it does represent an area of increased risk. Particularly as we look at people moving from Johannesburg to Cape Town, that exposes Cape Town a little bit more in terms of additional risk, and also in terms of people's ability to afford entry-level housing. Clearly, if the economic environment is difficult and people have less access to property in terms of job creation, then the sector is going to be fairly dormant. That doesn't mean that we have an oversupply of property. Far from it. We have a massive shortage of residential property in South Africa. And so that represents the potential upside. If we could get this economy going, if we could create a significant number of jobs, then we would have to build a huge number of housing, and that would give us a substantial vibrancy in the South African economy, especially since it has a low import intensity. But it's just not happening, and so it remains a hope rather than something that is necessarily materializing. The one area of household credit that is fairly buoyant is the use of credit card debt. That number is growing at 9% and has shown no sign of moderating, and potentially that is problematic under current circumstances, simply because interest rates are elevated, and it's clear that consumers, households are using credit cards to supplement their monthly income in order to effectively keep shopping. And we've seen retail sales surprise on the upside in recent months. But unfortunately, I think some of that retail spending is being funded on debt. And so we've seen household savings go negative as consumers delve more into that form of credit. And during the course of next year, we can start to see this being a little bit more problematic in terms of consumer or household distress, bad debts. And so it's not something that should, I think, be encouraged. Obviously, it helps with retail sales, but the longer term price can be quite damaging for many households and certainly for the economy more broadly. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.